I'm David Schreiner Kahn, and this is Smashing the Plateau. No matter how successful you are, there's probably at least one area where roadblocks are keeping you from fully achieving your goals. Fortunately, you've come to the right place. Every expert I interview on this podcast is different, but they all have one thing in common. They know how to fix problems that keep people stuck. Today, I'm pleased to welcome Dov Barron. Dov has been speaking internationally for over 30 years. He's the man with a finger on the pulse of the evolving world of next-gen leadership. One of Inc. magazine's top 100 leadership speakers to hire, Dov is a master storyteller, leading authority on authentic leadership, founder of Full Monty Leadership, the Authentic Speaker Academy for Leadership. Outside of his speaking and training, Dov works with multidisciplinary leaders and executive teams to build the bonds that create organizational cultures that become fiercely loyal. Dov is a best-selling author of several books. His latest book is Fiercely Loyal: How High-Performing Companies Develop and Retain Top Talent. He also writes for and has been featured in many industry publications, including CNN, CBS, Small Business, Pulse, SHRM, Yahoo Finance, Boston Globe, Business in Vancouver, USA Today, CEO, Entrepreneur, and many more. Dov, welcome to the show. It's great to have you on.
Thanks, David. It's a pleasure to be here. An honor.
So you have a lot of experience in the leadership space, and one of the most common struggles I hear from CEOs, and this actually, I've been hearing this for like the last 10 years, including right through the recession, is the challenge of quality talent acquisition and retention. And many people would think, especially during the recession, that there's so many people that are looking for work. Why is it so hard to find talent? So I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about what's going on with this whole struggle around talent acquisition and retention.
It's a great question, and it is actually a vitally important question. I was having a conversation with somebody called Shane Green, who you may be familiar with. Shane wrote a fabulous book about Culture Hacker. And one of the conversations we had was saying that regarding the war on talent, talent won. So what it really about understanding this is that when we are looking to bring in the top talent, when I work with a company and they say, we're having a challenge here finding the top talent, and I say, you've got to grasp it that you are still running it like leadership, like it was 10 years ago or even 20 years ago, which means that you're interviewing them. And it's not true. You are interviewing them, but they are interviewing you as much, maybe more, than you're interviewing them. So that's the first thing to understand with talent acquisition, is they're interviewing you. So when you say, I can't find great people, it's because you've already gotten rid of them without even knowing it.
And why is it that now they're interviewing you as well as you interviewing them? What's changed in the world?
Well, you actually mentioned it right at the opening there. In 2008, 2009, something dramatic happened in the world. It was called the global recession. And if you think about that, for the people who are in our age bracket of being baby boomers, when we entered the workforce, we were asked, what do you want to do? It was a 20 to 40 year question. And we picked a career and we went out and did that. Now, many of the millennials of today, who are now, by the way, the older end in 2017, are 37 years old. So they're not kids. They're between 17 and 37 years old. They're in the workforce, many of them in leadership positions, and they saw their moms and dads and people that they knew very well, relatives, who had given 10, 15, 20 years to a company looking for the golden handshake, and those jobs, those careers completely disappeared. They got very quickly, we cannot rely on the man. We cannot rely on big companies, big organizations to take care of us. And so we've really got to take care of ourselves. We have to be picky about who we go work for. And we have to understand that their value system may be very different than ours. So when I say to people, do you remember the Occupy movement? They say, yes. And I say, what was it? Well, it was a bunch of tents in Wall Street. Actually, it was tents in every financial district around the world. And I say, are those tents still there? They say, no. And I say, actually, you're wrong. They're still there. They go, no, I was on Wall Street last week. No, they're not on Wall Street. They exist in the minds of millennials. They still don't trust big business. And so they're coming in to interview you to see whether they can trust you.
You know, it's interesting as you're describing this. I guess as a baby boomer, maybe I was lucky because I had my first awakening of this issue of loyalty when I was in my 20s. It was my second job as an engineer, and just after I got a great performance review and a nice raise. A month later, my boss called me into his office and he said, David, I have bad news for you. You're out of a job. And I'm like, what's going on? Well, company didn't have enough business. Right. But the interesting thing was the decision-making process of who stayed and who went was very political. And so that really speaks to your issue of loyalty. And I was like, am I going to do this for another 40 years? Maybe there's another way to make a living. So
Yeah, why would somebody be loyal to you if you're not going to be loyal to them?
Exactly. So yeah, so they're interviewing you. What else plays into this whole talent acquisition issue?
Well, it's the thing around looking at, well, what are they interviewing you about? So they're certainly interviewing you to see whether they can trust you, but you have to look at, well, what makes them trust you? So here's the number one thing. The number one thing for millennials, again, they're 37 years old. So if you are thinking, well, I don't have to worry about those for another 20 years, if that's your plan, you're looking to go out of business. So looking to trust you, the number one thing on their list is meaningful work. The number one thing for millennials is meaningful work. It's actually a higher value than salary. In fact, they may likely leave you and work for another company at a lower salary because the work is meaningful. Now, how do we define meaningful work? Meaning, as the employee, I feel like I'm doing something that is part of something much bigger than I am. And that bigger something can't be making the bank account better for the company. So I have to know that this company is a purpose-driven organization. I go in, I speak around this around the world, but I'm also going and work with companies on helping them to develop what we call the sole purpose of the organization. Now, this is not new that this is useful, because back in 1994, Jim Collins wrote a book called Good to Great. And in that, he showed that companies that are purpose-driven outperform other companies massively, 1,200% more profitable, 400% higher stock values. I mean, it's enormous, the difference it makes. So they're looking for meaningful work. You have to be a purpose-driven organization. And when I say purpose-driven, sole purpose-driven, not some BS that's on your wall as a mission statement, they will see through that faster than you could possibly imagine. One of the things I love about millennials is they've got massive bullshit meters and they read very quickly, this is just rhetoric. And if it's rhetoric, they will walk away. So you've got to be purpose-driven, soulfully purpose-driven. It's got to be meaningful work that is bigger than profit.
Absolutely. So what are some examples of companies that you've seen that are doing a great job of creating the right environment that is really attracting people so that this equation, this interviewing equation, is working out well for the company?
Well, there's all kinds of examples, but you know, I want to give you the negative example first. So first of all, if you look at some companies, there are companies who will attract you attract employees because of prestige. It's good for me as an employee to have you, your company, on my resume. So for instance, probably one of the most successful companies in the world is a company you may have heard of called Amazon, right? And if I'm in the programming world, if I'm in that world, and it's a good idea for me to go to work there. But what most people don't realize is Amazon have a horrible time keeping their good people. In fact, their people leave usually within 1 year. And the ROI on a new acquisition on a new employee is this: you're going to spend 1.5 to 2 times the annual salary of an individual on training and developing them. So if they're leaving you within 1.2 to 2 years, which is how long it is usually, and with Amazon it's even faster, you are losing money at every single new employee. That's pretty scary. So you can attract them through being highly successful, you can attract them by being prestigious, but can you keep them? That's a whole other deal. Now we'll look at a company like Patagonia, who are a completely purpose-driven organization. They put purpose higher than profit. For instance, they had a drive several years ago where they encouraged people not to buy their new clothing, but rather to trade secondhand clothing that was not very well used or not particularly hardly used. And that took away profit from them, but raised the prestige of that company at a purpose level beyond anything you can imagine, which actually drove sales and drew to them phenomenal employees. So there's the two examples. On one side, you can have the prestige but no purpose. Yet, will you attract people? Yes, but will you keep them? No. On the other level, Patagonia, who is a successful company but nothing like Amazon, attracts the best people and they stick and they stay. That's what you want, because those people are going to give you that ROI that you're looking for.
So with those examples in mind, let's talk a little bit about leaders realizing that they're at a plateau, whether it has to do with talent acquisition and development or any other issue that's a major issue for a leader. What do you do? What do you do first? Where do you go for help? What have you found to be most beneficial in terms of just figuring out what it is we need to do as leaders to break through?
It's a great question. And the simple answer at the front end is one that might sound a little counterintuitive. And that is, you've got to stop living in Egypt. What I mean by that is you've got to stop bathing in denial, because most leaders are actually in denial about being at a plateau. And let alone being in denial that they're actually going in the wrong direction. So number one thing is that self-check, are we actually growing? And when you measure, what's the metrics for measuring that growth? Is the measurement of growth, i.e. the one we just talked about, Amazon, profit or money or stock value? See, Amazon's not made a profit yet. Stock value is insane. So have they plateaued? Are they growing? Or are they stagnating, or are they rolling backwards? Well, if you look at the different metrics in the amount of money, the stock value, definitely growing. Profitability, haven't made any. That's not good. That's a plateau. Keeping great talent, well, that's happening in the opposite direction. So I think one of the things to understand is that you can't measure plateau on a single platform. You have to look at it in all the different levels and say, where are we plateaued and where are we actually in negative? That's number one. Get out of denial. We all want to blow smoke up our own skirts and tell ourselves that we're doing great. But the bottom line is you've got to look at more than just the financial bottom line, but all the different bottom lines. And hey, the number one thing is your human capital. So that is it. So then when you look at the plateau, you got to say, okay, so where are we plateaued? Now the next question is, where are we in a blind spot? What I mean by that is, I'll give you an example. Years ago, there was a person who used to bring me in to speak in the Detroit area. I used to go in there all the time to speak. It was a wonderful time. And I actually don't like staying in people's places. I like my own space. I like to go to a hotel. I like to, you know, because I'm usually going to do some work and I like to unwind. But this guy, wonderful person, John, wonderful person, had a guest house. And so I would stay at his guest house on his property. But what that also meant was I would also have dinner with the family occasionally, which was very nice. And I'd be there for sometimes at least 10 days. And at one particular time I'd been there and I came back, and a couple of days later, John called me and he said, what did you say to Katie? Now, Katie was at that time 15 years old. It was his daughter. And I go, he sounded kind of pissed off. And I was like, I don't know. Can you give me some reference point? And he said, she's changed. And I'm like, is there a problem? I mean, tell me what's going on. And he says, well, she's dumped that loser boyfriend that she had. She's gotten rid of three of her friends and she's doing an hour extra homework every single night. And she just informed me that she wants to go study Latin in Rome when she's graduated. And I said, aren't those good things? And he said, yes, they're really good things. And I said, oh, okay. So why are you upset? And he said, I want to know what you said to her. I said, okay. So I told him what I had said to her, and which now infuriated John even more. Now, you should know that John had been a client of mine as well. I'd worked one-on-one with him as his leadership consultant, coach, mentor for a few years before. And he said he was upset because he had said exactly those things to Katie and it had no result. She was hanging out with these terrible people and not doing her homework. And he goes, and why did she listen to you and not me? And I said, John, that's easy. And he goes, what? I said, you're an idiot. Now, of course, John is not an idiot. And he said, why would you say that? And I said, by virtue of that, you're the parent. All parents are idiots. And he goes, what do you mean? I said, to your own children. And I said, here's the rule. It's a speaker rule, but it applies to parenting and it applies to leadership. And that is, a wise man is a fool in his own village. If you've plateaued, you are not going to solve that problem without outside help. Even if you actually have the ability, which you likely don't, to see what the real problem is. I was brought in recently to work with a company around building their sole purpose to really bond everybody in the organization. And that clearly looked like what the problem was, that they didn't really have a purpose. Now, companies are, you know, they're doing very well. They're in the, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. They're doing really great. But this is a multi-generational family business, which is what I do a lot of work with. And within two meetings, it was pretty clear that actually purpose is not your problem. Well, what is our problem? The problem is the communication dynamics that are not in place. And so we've actually had to sidebar purpose and go to that and deal with that, which was a complete total blind spot to them. Even though when I pointed out what the problems were, yeah, of course. But it became acceptable. And this is part of the challenge inside of your organization. You've plateaued because you've made things normal. You go, well, that's just how it is here. Your plateau exists everywhere you say, this is just normal for us. This is how we do it around here. Anytime you're using that language, you have plateaued.
So with that in mind, where should one seek help? There are lots of different models out there for help. There's coaching, there's consulting, there's peer support groups, and there's also no barrier to entry for a lot of the people who are in the helping roles. If you don't already have a relationship with somebody, some program, some team, how do you sift through the morass of stuff that's out there? Particularly if you are feeling very stressed, very anxious, you know there's a problem, time is ticking. The longer it takes you to solve the problem, the more money you're going to waste. The harder it is going to be to solve the problem. What do you do?
It's a great question, and you're absolutely right. There are hundreds of thousands of people willing to help you, and how do you sift through and find out who can work? Number one, and this is going to, again, sound a little controversial and counterintuitive, but please don't hire somebody who seems like you, because all you're going to get is more of the same. So one of the things, and this is part of my certain philosophy, as you're aware, David, I'm all around authenticity. If you can't deal with authenticity, don't hire me. But if you can't deal with authenticity, then you're never going to get to the solving the challenge. And there are all kinds of people out there who want to tell you that they've got the solution, and maybe some of them do, but they won't tell you the truth. So, you know, in a conversation I had with a client last week, again, it's a company we're working with, and I said to them, you know, we're at a place here where now we're at a fork in the road. And they said, what do you mean? I said, here's the fork in the road. You're either going to fire us, my company, from working with you, or we're going to take this up a heck of a lot more notches. And they go, what do you mean? I go, because I'm going to now, I have to be responsible for telling you the truth that you don't want to hear. And as a consultant who comes into companies, you know, there's a base level of me that goes, I want to keep my contract. I want to make sure the money's still flowing. Yeah. But I have to operate from a higher purpose, which is that I'm here to serve you, and blowing smoke up your skirt is not going to help you with that. So you need to be willing to hire somebody who will challenge you in ways you've never been challenged before, because oftentimes companies will bring in a consultant with a lot of great ideas. They're wonderful ideas, and the consultant won't really go to the core. So most things are that you're being offered solutions to a symptom, rather than solutions to a problem. And unless you know that that person can cut through to that, to do what I call soul surgery and really go to the depth of that being, you're going to get some relief, but relief is not a cure. Please remember that. So unless you can have somebody who knows how to do root cause analysis and find out what's really driving it, you're likely in the wrong place. And most of us are going to be more attracted to somebody who will blow smoke up our skirts and tell us it's not our fault, rather than saying, I am here as the consultant, as the guide, as the mentor, as the speaker to say to you, I'm going to go after whatever it is, even if you don't like what I discover.
Now, do you think that there are differences just because the framework is different between an individual coach or consultant versus being part of a peer support group?
Listen, I'm part of peer support groups, and I think they're great. They're wonderful. The problem is the peer support group are peers. So I'm part of peer support groups, but I don't look at a peer support group in giving me solutions. Sometimes they can call me out, which is great, because they can see themselves in where I'm at, which is wonderful, but they're not going to give me that solution. They're not going to give me the strategy, the techniques, the things that I need to go after, the things I need to deal with to take it to the next level. That's going to take an outside force. So are peer support groups fabulous? Yes, they are. Coach is great. Yeah, their coaches are great. They're help there to help you find the resources you have within you and bring those forward and then hold you to stepping into those. But that's different than what a consultant does or a mentor does, in that we are there to say, here's what's going on. Here's the root cause of why it's going on. Yes, we're going to coach you to say, well, what's the resources to bring you forward? But we've got to also challenge you and provide different strategies and solutions for you to do. So don't mix those things up. Coaching is one thing, consulting is another, and a peer group is another altogether. And all of them have their unique value. But if you are plateaued, you need somebody who can come in and really tell you what we've got to go after. The simple analogy. Thank you. Borrowed my mouth for a moment there. Somebody borrowed it. The simple analogy is you have tummy pain. You go to a doctor. Your doctor goes, yeah, probably appendicitis. Are you going to be happy with that? I don't think so. You're going to say, well, what do I do? And he says, well, go see this other doctor. Get a second opinion. Yep, it's probably that. What can I do? Well, what you should probably do is eat less of this or do more of that. Are you able to do that? Yes, I can do that. I can do those things. But the pain doesn't go away. You need somebody who can be a surgeon and goes, listen, this stuff is going to burst inside of you and poison your system. We got to open you up and take that baby out. That's what you want when you're writhing around on the floor. You don't care about the resources you've got available to you. You don't even care about what it actually is. You just got to fix the problem.
Yeah, it's a great analogy. Dov, who do you know personally who has done a really remarkable job of smashing plateaus?
For themselves?
Yes.
With their own business?
Yeah.
I got a great example. Carl Smith. Carl Smith is the guy who is the founder of something called Kinetic Shift, and he is the founder of the UK Hypnosis Academy. And the reason he's magnificent is because he executes. So Carl is in the UK. He came over here, and I met him through a friend of mine, and we went to dinner one night. It was in my city, and we went to dinner, and we sat and we chatted. And he hired me on the spot to assist him in getting where he wanted to go. Now, I will tell you that Carl at that time was ex-military and he was police special forces in the UK. I mean, like, the guy has done a lot of hardcore stuff around protection and services. I mean, just hardcore. But years before I had met him, he had been, as a police officer, had been run over by a vehicle and then backed over and dragged down the street. So had gone through enormous trauma and PTSD and all kinds of things you can imagine, and had developed a strategy to remove PTSD from other people. And part of the work that I did was, it's time to step away from what you've been doing and really step into the business world and start offering your services. Within 3 weeks, he packed up his job. Now, this is a long-term pension job. Packed up his job, started his business. Within 2 years, trains internationally, speaks all over the world, from Australia to Dubai to Canada to the US to all over the UK. Now has an academy, teaches other people, has a studio in which he films other people. I mean, this is a guy who got it. And what is the distinction? The distinction is that he stopped playing small, because the question I put to him is the question I'll put to every leader who's listening to this. I know you look big. I get it. I know that there are people who look up to you and go, wow, I wish I was like you. But if there's a part of you that goes, you know what? Secretly, maybe it's at night as you lay down in bed. Maybe it's in the morning as you shave, where you go, or you put on your makeup and you go, there's a bigger game for me. I know there is. but you're still clinging on to what you have, I'm going to give you the same question I gave Carl, and that's this. Who suffers if you continue to play small? As big as you look to everybody else, you know there's a bigger game. And so let me ask you, who suffers if you continue to play small? And what's the action you need to take now, today, within the next 5 minutes to move yourself out of the comfort of your laurels into this place that is going to scare the crap out of you, but is going to shift you and shift what it is that you do, and in turn shift the world?
Well, Dove, thank you for sharing that question. And speaking of bigger game, what do we have to look forward to in the near future from you?
Yeah, thanks for turning the table on me. That's very nice of you.
You kind of set me up for that one.
I did. I set you up beautifully. I can't deny that at all. Actually, my plateau has been that I have, as you know, David, I have a massive social media presence. You can simply search my name and you'll see I show up everywhere. I write for, I think, 12 or 14 outlets. And something I've been aware of for 8 years is online courses. And I developed one many years ago, but I was so far ahead of my time that the course died a death, never did anything. And getting back into that world of creating courses for online is now become, it's an up and coming thing. And plateau for me is that I had not created that. And so what we've got now is I'm developing 3 courses online that people can do leadership training with me through online. We're developing one right now in authentic leadership in action. We're developing another one, which is around emotional intelligence in leadership. And a third one, which is finding your sole purpose as a leader for business.
That's great. And how can listeners learn more about you, these programs, and follow you?
Thank you for asking, David. I appreciate that. You can find out more about me at my main site, which is FullMontyLeadership.com, like the movie Full Monty Leadership. You can certainly Google me. As I said, there's a lot there. But if you go to FullMontyLeadership.com, you'll see there's a blog there with over 300 articles on it. My YouTube channel is Dove Barron, Full Monty Leadership. On LinkedIn, it's just under my name, DoveBaron. On Facebook, it's Dove Barron Leadership. And I'm in all those places. Of course, my podcast is on iTunes, Dove Barron Leadership and Loyalty Tips for Executives, number one podcast for Fortune 500 listeners, all those different places. But you know what? I'm going to challenge you to something else with something that is seen as being insane, because I'm a little on the edge. And that's this. I'm going to give you my private email address. I'm going to give you that email address for two reasons. David puts together this program for you, gives you great speakers, great leaders, great individuals to assist you. That takes work, time, energy, and effort. I want you to write to me and tell me what you got out of this show, what you're going to do with it. Have I added any value to you? And what do you want to do with it? If you want to reach out to me and ask me how I can help you, that's fine. I'm happy to do that. But I actually want to know what you got out of this already. So feel free to write to me and ask me for assistance. That's fine. But write to me and tell me what you got out of this show. And write to David. Go on iTunes. Rate, review, and subscribe to his show. And tell him what you got out of this show. Because this guy's putting this together for you. And it's important that you are part of the feedback loop. This is not a one-way system. Don't just listen to this. Use it.
So what is your email address?
Dove, D-O-V, at DoveBaron.com. So Dove, D-O-V, at DoveBaron.com.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that, Dove. And also, I will add to this that it is important for those of us that host podcasts and other kinds of content-producing media, it's important for us to hear from you, so we know what it is you want, because we are putting a lot of time and effort into creating this, and we really want it to serve you. So the more we hear from you, the easier it is for us to provide what you want. So So thank you for mentioning that, Dove. And thanks so much for creating a really meaningful, rich discussion about leadership and solving some of the problems. Leadership is hard. There's no question about it. And I'm really grateful that you took the time to come on and speak with me so we can share this with our listeners.
Well, thank you. I appreciate being on. And again, I want to challenge everybody to go and take a look at what is the sole purpose of why you're doing business. It's not money. That's one reason. But ask yourself, what is the actual purpose of this? What part of me is called to do this? That's going to give you a leadership edge that most people don't have.
That's great. Well, thanks again, Dov. My guest today has been international leadership speaker, consultant, and best-selling author, Dov Barron. Thanks again, Dov, for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Smashing the Plateau, the podcast produced by Tend Strategic Partners. I hope you enjoyed our discussion. Have you ever hit a plateau in your own life or career? If so, let's talk. It would be my pleasure to take you through one of our free half-hour discovery sessions, where we'll get to the bottom of what might be keeping you stuck and how to move things forward. Just give me a call at 212-731-0770. That's 212-731-0770. You never know what you might find out.